Good morning, Crossville Church. How are you this morning? It's good to see each of you in the service. We're glad that you're here. Let me just remind you of a few announcements. First of all, we want to express our sympathy to Sharon Buckner and her family. Her mother passed away on Friday morning, and her mom's funeral is today at Monterey Church of the Nazarene at 2 o'clock. And if you can go and be a part of that, I know that they would appreciate it. The address for the church, if you don't know where it's at, is 110 North Poplar Street there in Monterey. And if you can go, I know that they would appreciate that. And that's at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Be sure and remember choir practice at 5 o'clock, small groups at 6 o'clock. The Good News group is doing Overcome, Living Beyond Your Circumstances, about the life of Joseph. Out on Peavine, the group there is talking about eternity. Got questions? And so if you can go to either one of those, that would be great. Those begin at 6 o'clock. The children are working on their children talent exhibits, their group participation and items. And if you can go, be sure and have the kids here on Sunday nights and Wednesday night. They're getting ready for district children's talent, which will be in September. Be sure and remember Wednesday nights here at the church starts at 6 o'clock. We're back to normal, whatever normal is. I think that's a setting on a dryer, but anyway, we're back to normal events on Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock, and so you come and be a part of that. Next Sunday morning is a part of our morning worship service. We will be celebrating the Lord's Supper, and so we wanted to let you know that. Then next Sunday, following morning worship, there will be a children's workers meeting for any of you who are presently working with children, would like to work with children. We need you here for a meeting next Sunday following morning worship, and lunch will be provided. There is a Bread of Life wish list out in the foyer. And for September, we're not going to be preparing a meal. And if you can donate in the Bread of Life box that's out there in the foyer to help cover the cost of the meal, that will be great. There are a lot of other items in the bulletin, and I encourage you to look at those and participate in all of them that you can. They're not just there so we can take up space in a bulletin. I'm smiling. Be a part of all that the church is doing. Thank you for your faithfulness in giving. God has blessed, and we do appreciate His blessing and your faithfulness. And so be sure and remember that. Any other announcements this morning? I want to pass along. Normally, this is a first for me, and that's the reason I went ahead and did the announcements. Gail Martin put something on Facebook, and I have never read something from Facebook before, Gail, so this... If you are friends with Gail, if you're not friends with Gail, let's all just bombard her with friends requests, you know. I want to read to you this morning when I got up, and I put the scripture on every morning there for our Facebook page. I want to read to you what came up on my Facebook feed, and Gail put this on there. She said, "I had something happen today that made me very sad. I was checking out at a store, and the young man jokingly said, 'Are you buying for the whole county?' I said, 'No, I'm giving these to my Sunday school class.' He looked at me with a puzzled look and said, 'What's that? I've never heard of it.' So I went on to explain to him what it was. I invited him to church and prayed for him on the way home. I've been in church all my life, and it's so sad that there are people right here in Crossville, Tennessee, that don't know anything about church." Here's her last sentence. "We have to step it up, people, and spread the seed and pray that we lead someone to Christ." Thank you, Gail. But now we don't need just to say amen and agree. Does no good to say amen and agree if we don't go outside and do. Now say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Gail. I appreciate that. And I'm praying with you for this young man. May God bless him and may God speak to him. Amen. Marcy. Psalm 92 says, "It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night to the music of the 10-string lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. How great are your works, Lord. How profound are your thoughts. Senseless people do not know. Fools do not understand. That through though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are forever exalted." Let's stand as you're able and worship together.
He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise Him. He is exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise His name. Exalted on high, I will praise Him. He is exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise His name. He is the Lord, forever His truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in His holy. King is exalted on high. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails. Running after me one more time. Your goodness is running after me. I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me.
Our Father, our hearts are moved this morning because worthy is the Lamb. You went to such great love to pour out your Son's as a gift to us, the shedding of his blood, that we might have a relationship with you. We thank you this morning for the reality of this. And you've told us to come. We come daily expressing our need. We're so dependent upon you. We need you this morning in a world that's messed and broken and the chaos that surrounds us. We're confident that you're still in charge. You're still on the throne.
Yes.
You're still at work in our world. You want us as your people to carry out your plan to a world that's in need. May we be obedient to your voice, to your spirit, to your word. We bring to you today these who have been mentioned in our bulletin who have special needs. We pray especially for Eugene and his wife, that you will comfort them in their loss,
Lord.
And that you will work out your plan in not only their lives, but the life of the family that would be drawing them closer to you.
Mm.
Bless our pastor this morning as he speaks and he gives us your word. May we have hearts and minds that will be receptive to receive that which you want to give us today. May we go from this place with renewed confidence that you're still on the throne.
Yes.
That you want to live in us and through us and to people around us. May we have eyes to see what you see. And may we be obedient to your spirit today. Thank you again for loving us. We pray that your special blessing will rest upon every person here in this audience this morning. That we would go from this place with renewed hope and vision to be the people of God. And we will praise you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning from John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 10. For the last few weeks, we have been looking at the I Am statements of Jesus. The first Sunday that we started this series, we went back to the Old Testament and looked into the Old Testament where God spoke to Moses and asked Moses to go back to Egypt. And when Moses said, "Who am I supposed to say is sending me?" God says, "Tell them I am is sending you." The past 2 weeks, Pastor Jack C., that's how I'm going to refer to them, okay? So, Pastor Jack has preached about, "I am the bread of life and I am the light of the world." And today we're going to look at the third one of those statements with Jesus saying, "I am the door." Or if you're reading from the New International Version, it says, "I am the gate." Either way, it means the same thing. And so let's look at John chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. Jesus says, "Verily, very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I want us to go back to that first sermon that I preached for just a moment. How about that? If you weren't here, I'm about to bring you up to speed. When we looked at that first sermon, I we looked at John chapter 8, verse 58, and there Jesus is talking. And if you read that chapter there in John chapter 8, it speaks of the fact that these were people to whom he's speaking that believed in him. They were Jews who had believed in him. And everything was going really well with this conversation until Jesus there in 8:58 says to those who are surrounding him, "Before Abraham was born, I am." Well, at that point in time, basically what Jesus had done, and he equated himself with God and revealed themselves to him, or he revealed himself to them as the fact that he indeed was God. And in all these I am statements, please understand that every time that Jesus uses that statement, all the people in the crowd, it immediately perks their ears because they remember back in Exodus. They remember what God had to say to Abraham, and they remember that Jesus is basically saying here that he is God. What's interesting about it, in all these instances when he uses this word, these words, I am, it's very emphatic. There's no hesitation. There's no equivocation. He is stating that he is divine. He is stating that he is the one and only. And he upset some people. But he told the truth. In the scripture that I read to you this morning, Jesus tells them two different times that he is the gate, he is the door. And he begins this whole passage of scripture with these words, "Very truly I tell you," which was a way of saying to those who were listening, what I'm about to tell you is of the utmost importance. It's something that you need to listen to. It's something that you need to pay close attention to. It's actually a double amen. Amen means so may it be. And so Jesus is basically saying amen and amen, which signified unto them that this was something that they needed to listen to. But the thing about it is, Jesus did not put the amen at the end of what he's saying. He puts it at the beginning, which means it has even more significance. And he upset them again. Can I tell you something? Just as true as truth was back then that would upset people, so truth today still upsets people. People a lot of times don't want to hear the truth. In fact, the Apostle Paul said that there would come a time when people would gather to themselves teachers who would say what their itching ears, not the teachers having itching ears, but the people. He said they'll gather to themselves people, teachers who will say exactly what they want to hear, what their itching ears want to hear. Well, we look at this, and chapters 9 and 10 basically are separated in our Bibles, but this was all one event. Jesus had started this event out by healing a blind man. And what Jesus did, He kind of bends down and he spits in the dirt and he makes mud with that and he puts it on the blind man's eyes and tells him to go and wash, and he does that, and when he does that, the man can immediately see. Well, John tells us about this miracle, but John in the beginning part of this leaves one important fact out that we find as we read on down through there. What we find out was that this was the Sabbath day. Now, Jesus had already made them mad because he told them who he was. But now Jesus does something, as far as they were concerned, that was even worse because it messed up their theology and all the things that they had taught the people. He makes mud on the Sabbath day. You're not supposed to work. You're not supposed to do anything. Now, I'm not sure how much mud he made. I know that's a gross statement. Okay, I understand that fully. But I'm not sure how much mud he could have made, but it couldn't have been that much. But they got real upset about this fact. Jesus has just said that he is truly God, and now he's messing up their interpretation of the Sabbath. They couldn't deny the healing because everybody knew the man. Everybody knew that he had been blind since birth, so they couldn't deny the healing. So they decide what they're going to do is they're going to call a man in and they're going to talk to him. And he really messes up the apple cart because he says to them, if this man, in John 9:33, he says, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. So you know what they did to the man? They threw him out of the church because he had more spiritual insight than they did. Actually, it was a synagogue, but you get the drift. They got so upset that this man would say to them, this guy is indeed God, or he could not do what he was doing. They got so upset, they said, well, we will take you and we will put you out of the synagogue. Jesus goes and finds the man. And he reveals to the man who he is. And the Bible says this, John says this, at that point in time, the former blind man worships Jesus. That really upsets some of them too. And then Jesus says to the blind man, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see and those who see will become blind. Well, there were people with this blind man. They didn't want him to come back in and mess things up because he had already messed things up royally. And so they were with him and he is there. And they hear what Jesus says to this blind man. And they're upset again. Isn't it amazing how religious people get upset? I didn't figure I'd get many amens on that. Maybe a few omes, you know. But sometimes we get upset about the most insignificant thing. We will argue over things that don't amount to a hill of beans as far as our salvation is concerned. But they got real upset and they asked Jesus, and this is the bony paraphrase of this, they basically asked Jesus, you're not calling us blind, are you? They thought they had all the spiritual insight. They thought they had it all together. They thought they knew everything about God that was what was to be known. And so you come to chapter 10. And here in chapter 10, Jesus begins this parable. And it's interesting to me. He says, very truly I tell you, Pharisees. So he calls them out by name. If you want to make somebody mad in church, call them out by name. You know? And so he calls them out by name and he tells this parable, which was just a simple story, really. But it took on a very personal meaning, or it should have taken on a very personal meaning, but the Bible says, John says here, that they didn't understand what he was talking about. Which only goes to reinforce what Jesus had already said about them. Right? He had basically already said, you guys are blind. I came to heal the blind, but those who can see, they're not going to be able to see. And so you begin to look at this, and Jesus tells this parable about a sheep pen, and in this telling of the parable, he says two different times, I'm the gate. I'm the door. I am the way. And I want us this morning to look at three things that Jesus means as he says here when he says, I am the door or I am the gate. The first thing that I want you to see as you begin to look at this is that Jesus basically says that he is the only way. He is the only door to salvation. He's the only door. Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. I mean, all the people who were standing there listening, they understood. They understood because they lived in this culture. They lived in this agricultural culture, and Jesus paints them this picture of the work of a shepherd. And he talks about caring for the sheep. All of this would have been very familiar to his audience. We look at it and we go, huh? All my cousins were raised in the country. I was the only city boy that was among them. I stuck out like a sore thumb when I was with them, you know. One time we decided that we were going to play cowboys and Indians, and I realize that's not politically correct now, but that's what we were doing way back then, okay? We were going to play cowboys and Indians, and they were all cowboys, and I was the Indian. Not only that, but they thought it was time that the Indian was hung. And so there was a wire hanging off the porch there at my grandmother's house, and they put the wire around my neck, and they are about to push me off the porch when my grandmother walks out and sees this and absolutely goes berserk. I didn't have a clue. I've seen those people on TV get hung, and they always are back in the next movie, you know? I mean, it was going to be okay. I didn't understand the reality of that situation. Jesus tells them this. He tells them what they already knew, what they already understood. And what we don't understand is that at night it would have been customary for a shepherd to gather all of his sheep and put them in the pen or in some sort of, sometimes they used a cave, whatever was there, they would put all their sheep inside of this and the shepherd would stay there at the door. The shepherd would in essence become the door by which the sheep would go in and out. He would sleep at the entrance. He was the protective guard. And nothing could come in or go out. If they were in a pen, then he would have to be a little more alert because there might be thieves and robbers that would try to get over the fence to get in there to get the sheep. But nothing got in without his blessing. Nothing got in without his permission. And next week when we look at I Am the Good Shepherd, we're going to see this a little bit more. But here Jesus is basically showing them something, that as the Messiah who cares for the spiritual sheep, he is the one. He is the only door. If these sheep are going to find their way to salvation, it will not be because of a thief or a robber. It will not be because of anything else. It will be because they go through the gate. A lot of people in our world have this idea. And they have this idea that it really doesn't matter how you try to get to heaven. That there are all kinds of ways to get to heaven. And none of the things in our world are wrong. It's just another way. Please understand, they may be sincere, but they are sincerely wrong. They're sincerely wrong. The little guys who come and knock on your door who ride bicycles, they're very sincere, but they are sincerely wrong. The people who come to your house and knock on the door to hand you a tract, they are sincere, but they are sincerely wrong. Side note, I wish we had their zeal for reaching people. Back to the sermon. Jesus here and in other places, he makes it very, very clear that there is absolutely, positively no other way into heaven except through him. He is the gate. He is the door. He is the way. So he's dealing with all of these people here, and he's dealing with all these Pharisees. They don't understand everything that's going on, but they do understand, based on what we find there in verse 1, that he is talking specifically to them. And so the next thing that he says is even more a slam to them, because he says to them, all who have come before me were thieves and robbers. You see, he is the real shepherd. He's the real shepherd. He is the real Messiah. I mean, there have been all kinds of false messiahs that came before Jesus. They would come up on the scene. They would say, I am the one. But nothing that they did proved that they were the one. But when you begin to look at Jesus, everything that he did proved that he was the one. That he was the real one. And Jesus, speaking to these Pharisees, he says that they were thieves and robbers. Now, this is not the only time that Jesus calls them something other than what they are. In other places, he calls them snakes. In other places, he calls them whited sepulchers or whited tombs. I mean, Jesus calls the Pharisees and the Sadducees out for what they were. They were thieves and robbers.
While I was in high school, I worked at a mom-and-pop variety store. At that point in time, I had never heard of Walmart. It was already in existence in Arkansas, but I had never heard of Walmart. And so at Myrick's Family True Value, I got my first job. And Mr. Myrick, he was a great man. He had a keen business sense. And he began this little store in this little town and had done all this work in order to get the store up and running. And Mr. Myrick was good enough to give this boy a job. He called me one day and he said, "William, would you like to paint?" And I just said, because I had put an application in there, and I said, "Yeah, I'll be glad to paint. I'd love to paint. You know, it's money. If you don't know this, money is right there next to oxygen. Okay, you got to have it if you're going to exist." And he told me when I finished painting 3 weeks later, he said, that shows you how long it took me to paint his in-law's house. But he told me when I finished, he said, "Well, would you like to finish up some of the vacation with the guys that are going to be on vacation?" I said, "Sure, Mr. Myrick, that's great. I'll be glad." And so I began at that process to work for him in the store. And then when the vacations were over, I got let go, not in an ugly way. He said, "I'll call you at Christmas." And so he called me back at Christmas. And when Christmas was done, all the other guys got laid off and I stayed. I'm such a good person. And so because Mr. Myrick had been so good to me, I mean, he really, really had. Because he had been so good to me, I'm telling you, when I saw people stealing from Mr. Myrick, I took it personally. I mean, this man has employed me. He has done all this for me. He's brought me along. He even was talking to me at the end of my high school career. He said, "William, if you want to stay in Piedmont," because he knew we were about to move, he said, "If you want to stay in Piedmont, I'll make you assistant manager of this store." And he said, "You can stay here and you can go to Jack State. You can get your degree there." And I'm going to tell you, it was very tempting. But had I done that, I would not be here and she would not be there. But I took it real personal when people would steal from Mr. Myrick. I mean, I became pretty good at watching people. Even in Walmart today, I watch somebody and I don't know about them. I have never tackled anybody, just so you'll know. But it bothered me. I took it very personally. I mean, I learned all this kind of stuff from Mr. Myrick. And when Jesus references thieves and robbers, he's talking about these who are there to steal from the family of God. Like false messiahs and false teachers and scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees. Because these religious leaders of the day, they were less concerned with integrity and truth, and they were more concerned about personal prestige and wealth. I paused there so you could just think about the political climate in which we live. And I'm not talking about one party. Okay? We live in a day and age in which people are more concerned about personal prestige and wealth than they are about truth and integrity. You look at this, and when Jesus uses the word thief, He suggests there's somebody that comes in and they subtly work their way in. They don't want to get caught. They kind of tiptoe around so that they'll get in there and then they're able to do whatever they want to do. But when he uses the term robber, he's speaking of someone who comes in violence. It stands in stark contrast to what Jesus says about himself. Jesus didn't come to steal. He came to give. He came to serve. He came to sacrificially do what he did. He gave up all the comforts and the glory of heaven to walk among us, as we talked about this past Wednesday night, and we're going to talk about it again. I mean, Jesus came and set up his tent in the town that we live in.
He came to suffer. And can I say this, folks? We think we have an idea about what the cross is really like. Folks, I'm going to tell you, we don't have a clue. He came to suffer. He came to give Himself for us. His blood was shed so that we could be forgiven of our sins. And He grants us eternal life because we place our confidence and trust in Him. And I'm going to tell you, if you want to know the clearest way to tell whether someone has come in Christ's name or not, here I'm going to give this to you. If you want to know if someone has come in Christ's name, watch what they do. Observe how they act. If it's all about them, you better keep your eyes wide open. But if they come willing to serve, if they come willing to sacrifice, if they come in the name of Jesus and they try to do what Jesus would have done, most of the time they're legit. But Jesus is the real shepherd. He's not a thief. He's not a robber. He's not some false Messiah. He's not some false prophet. He came and He lived out His life so that you and I might see what God was really like, so that we could have that relationship with God that we need more than we need anything else. He's the real deal. I know that's kind of a very colloquial way to say that, but let me tell you, folks, He is the real deal. He came. He's not like thieves and robbers even in our day. He came in order that He might give His life as a ransom for many, the Word tells us. But I want you to notice finally that He is the real door. He's not a thief and the robber. He is the real shepherd. But when we go through that gate, that door, Jesus says we will then know what real life is all about. Verse 9. I am the gate. Whoever enters through Me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. What a beautiful statement. What a wonderful statement. What a helpful statement. I mean, whoever enters through Me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The psalmist said in Psalm 23, He makes me lie down in green pastures, and for sheep, those pastures provided rest. Those pastures provided sustenance. And in those pastures, they found everything that they needed in order to thrive. And it's the same with us. It's as we enter through the gate, as we go through that entrance, we find all that we need. We find the rest that we need. We find the sustenance that we need. We find everything that we need in Jesus. I mean, Scripture's very clear about this. In the world in which we live, we're only going to be rescued through Jesus. He restores us. The psalmist said that. But that is the reality. He restores us. There's not a secondary option. There's not a substitute that can take His place. People all over our world today are trying substitutes to try to bring them some peace, to try to bring them some rest. Nothing works except Jesus. Some people look at this and say, well, he's talking about the devil. The stealing, the killing, the destroying. I mean, that's exactly what the devil does. But the whole context of this, Jesus is speaking to those who are looking at false religions. He's looking at those who are looking at false teachers. He's speaking of those who would try to take people away from God. He's talking about those who are antagonistic toward Himself. He's talking about sometimes even our own friends, who try to pull us away from what Jesus is doing. I mean, you look at this passage and you go back to Ezekiel chapter 34. And there in Ezekiel chapter 34, God speaks of himself as the shepherd, and he warns Israel about all of these false teachers that would come in among them. But then Jesus moves on from talking about the false teachers and what they give to speaking about what he gives. I'm just going to tell you that if I had sheep, they would die. The only thing that I grow well is grass. And right now, crabgrass is trying its best, you know. I grow that real well. But if I were to try to raise cattle, it would be bad. I don't have the knowledge, I don't have the understanding to give them what they need. Jesus, when he speaks of the sheep, which he's talking there about you and me, and what's interesting about that, and I mean this very kindly, sheep are stupid. They really are. If you don't believe that, read Timothy Keller's book, A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm, okay? You'll find out that sheep are really stupid animals. They're really helpless animals. I mean, if one of them gets over on his back, he can't even turn over. Of course, I'm beginning to relate to that, but that's neither here nor that, you know. But when Jesus comes on the scene, he knows us. He understands us. He knows exactly what we need. And it's only in Jesus that you and I can have real life. I mean, the abundant life that Jesus is talking about here, it's talking about growth, it's talking about maturity, it's talking about transformation, it's talking about spiritual strength. He moves us from being spiritual infants and develops us into what he really wants us to be. He takes us from our deadness and gives us life. I heard someone say years and years ago, and it has stuck with me, that Jesus did not come to make bad people good. Jesus came to make dead people live. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. To have it to the full extent. Everything that we need spiritually, Jesus is willing and can provide, and through what he did on the cross, we can come to know what real life is all about. People all over this world are thinking that they are living, and they are dead. If you don't believe it, look at their eyes sometimes. They've got everything that they want, but they don't have what they need. Everything that they want, but they don't have what they need. And through Jesus, we can have real life. Application. Application this morning is going to be real simple, okay? I mean, very simple. Christ alone is the door to salvation. That's it. There is no other way. If you try to get in another way, you know what Jesus says about you? If you try to get in another way, you're a thief or a robber. Don't be mad at me. That's what he said. Okay? He is the only gate. And when we come to him, we are saved. That's what he says. I mean, but he also says that we need to be close to him. There ought to be some close proximity. There ought to be, and here is this word, there ought to be relationship between us and God. There ought to be a relationship that provides salvation and protection and provision. I mean, all of these things come about by our knowledge of Jesus and our relationship with him. And we ought to come to know his voice. We ought to come to hear that still, small voice that speaks to us in the clamor of our world. Let me tell you something, folks. We ought to set aside some quiet time just to listen to his voice. I love Elijah. Elijah's so much like us, okay? He's just had this magnificent experience on the mount with all those prophets, and God proved that he was God and that Elijah was his prophet. And Jezebel says, I'm going to kill you. And Elijah runs and ends up in a cave, and God calls him out. And there's thunder and there's fire and there's earthquake and there's all this stuff. And finally, in all of that, there's wind. All of the things that God should have been present in. And Elijah hears a still, small voice. And that, ladies and gentlemen, was God. Do you know his voice? Have you taken enough time to learn to hear his voice? Or are we so busy in our lives and the clamor and everything that's going on around us that we can't even hear his voice because we're not looking for his voice, we're not listening for his voice, we're not reading for his voice, we're not quiet before him? It's only as we hear his voice that we can follow him. Did you get that? It's only as we hear his voice. And the reason that so many people are confused, and I've made my application a whole lot longer than I intended to, forgive me. The reason that so many people in our world are confused and are following so many different things is because they don't know the shepherd's voice. Jesus is the only gate. He's the only way. And if we're going to get in, we get in through him. Jesus said, I am the gate. I am the door. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that in this we see that you are real, that everything else that would try to draw our attention away from you is really a thief and a robber. Some of those things come in very subtly. Some of those things come in very violently. But it's only through you that we really hear and know the truth. It's only through you that we can receive salvation. It's only by coming to you that we can have real life and abundant life. I pray, Lord, for those who are sitting here this morning. They've all come into this place and they look good and they're smiling. But perhaps, Lord, there might be one or two or more that they're not hearing your voice anymore. Or maybe this morning for the first time, they've heard your voice for the first time. I don't know. I wouldn't try to determine anybody's spiritual condition. But Lord, if they've heard your voice for the first time this morning, I pray, Father, that you'd help them simply to turn to you and say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I've tried so many other things, but I need you. I need you today. If they confess their sins to you, you will forgive them. And you'll come in and you'll give them real life, abundant life. Lord, if there are those that the world has kind of crowded out the voice of the shepherd, I ask you, God, that today they would hear your voice. And that they would indeed follow after you. Lord, we don't want to be taken by thieves and robbers. We want to follow the real one. We want to go in through the real gate. We want real life. And so we thank you, Lord, for this time that we've had together. I wonder, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if there might be one, maybe more this morning, that maybe God has spoken to you in a new way. I don't know. I don't know how God spoke to various individuals this morning, but I do believe that he did. And maybe you just need to get up from where you're seeing and come and bow here in this altar or sit here at these front pews, whatever you might need to do, and talk to the shepherd. Talk to the one who can open the door and do something miraculous in your life. Is there anybody that needs to come and bow here? If you do, there'll be people who will come and pray with you. They're not gonna make fun of you. They're not going to try to make you feel ashamed. Because right here at this altar, right here at the foot of the cross, it is very, very level ground. Wasn't anywhere before we go this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that through you we can have real life. Help us, Lord, in this week that we would put out the noise of the world and that we would listen for the voice of the shepherd. And when you speak to us, help us, Lord, to follow. We love you, we thank you, we praise you, we ask you, Lord, that you would be with Sharon and her family in the service this afternoon. May you comfort them and strengthen them and help them. And we believe, God, that you are able, and so we trust you to do that. Go with us from this place. Bring us back to the small groups this evening, to choir practice, to all the things that are going on. And I ask you, God, that you would bless and help us. And we trust you for your leadership. We trust you for that relationship that we need. And we pray and ask these things in the precious name of the one who gave himself for us. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. I'm glad you were here this morning. I hope you have a great day. We'll see you this evening, Wednesday night or next Sunday. God bless you. You're dismissed.